Chapter 30. Neither of them wanted to go back to the planet's surface. As the shuttle aimed for Akshaya's hangar, they didn't talk. It wasn't until Hatter cut the engines and stood to leave the planet hopper that he turned to Jin, eyes gleaming.
"That was awesome," he said.
Jin couldn't help grinning back at him. Hatter bubbled with pent-up excitement.
"I mean, I've been up there before. That wasn't my first time.
Before Tanith died, Mum used to let me go on some of her runs. But I've never been at the controls before. I've never..."
He ran his fingers through his hair, then swooped down, grabbing Jin in a hug so fierce he lifted her off her feet.
"Thank you," he said,
looking right into her eyes. When he let her go, Jin staggered a little, unsteady without his touch.
"We have to go celebrate," Hatter said. "I'm taking you out to dinner."
"Yay, more fun," Jin said without enthusiasm. Hatter laughed.
"I'm not that bad of a cook," he said. "But I meant I'm taking you out. Not that I'm cooking. Come on," he said,
grabbing her hand and leading her off the ship, out of the hangar, into the little town and straight to the diner. A local band was playing, and more than half the diner was singing along to songs Jin didn't know. She sat at the table Hatter procured for them against the wall, far from the band.
She looked out over the loud, tipsy crowd.
Living on the outskirts, Jin hadn't really run into that many people. But there was a whole refinery on school, as well as some trade with bun and other goods. The diner served as a restaurant and watering hole for the locals, an inn for the visitors, and a meeting place for all of school.
"I'm always surprised there are so many different kinds of people here," Jin commented.
Coruscant had been populated with every species imaginable, but most worlds she'd been on since had been fairly homogeneous.
"It's like Mum says," Hatter replied. "The giant doesn't notice ants. School is an anthill."
And he didn't need to add, there were plenty of ants in the galaxy. Hatter insisted on ordering something special for them.
"No bun," he promised, telling the Chagrian who owned the place that they wanted two soup soufs.
When the food arrived, Jin looked down at her dish.
"This is edible?" she asked, sliding her fork through the brownish foam the Chagrian had delivered to their table.
"Trust me."
She did.
She shouldn't have.
The soup souf wasn't the worst thing she'd ever eaten, but it was close. She'd take mystery meat from Saw's cabinet any day over the oddly textured pillow of squishy saltiness that coated her tongue with a strange, fatty aftertaste.
"Come on, it's not that bad," Hatter laughed.
Jin pushed her plate over to him.
"You're making me bun when we get back home," she informed him.
A smirk slid across Hatter's face.
"What?" Jin asked.
"You've never called it home before," he said.
Jin started to make a joke. She couldn't let Hatter get too smug. But then she froze. She recognized a face in the crowd. Someone she hadn't seen in ages. Not since Inusagi and the massacre. The stocky man with broad shoulders. The one who had just grunted the code word at her and taken the invitation. She remembered the way he had looked as he fired the flechette launcher. The firm set of his jaw as he watched the destruction of life unfolding before him.
"What is it?"
Hatter asked immediately. Jin shook herself.
"Nothing."
Hatter turned in his seat to see what she was looking at. The band had taken a break, and the crowd around them had dispersed, exposing a table on the other side of the room where a handful of people were playing sabacc in the shadows.
"Do you know those guys?"
he asked in a low voice. Jin ripped her gaze away.
"One of them," she said. "Let's go."
Hatter left some credit chips on the table, and together they walked out into the street. Jin felt the nervous energy build in her, her hands gripping and ungripping. Hatter was on edge, too. He kept glancing behind him. The refinery's second shift ended, and a flood of people poured onto the street, blotting out the diner's main entrance.
"He was someone Saw worked with once," Jin said as they pushed their way through the crowd, going against the flow. "I met him during a job on Inusagi."
The bells attached to the poles lining the streets jingled, and Jin jumped. Their metallic tinkling was nothing like the zing of the flechettes, the scent of the flowers totally different from the sakula blossoms stained with blood. She glanced over her shoulder. He was following them.
"It's a coincidence," Jin told herself, but every nerve in her body was rattled.
She slipped her hand into Hatter's. He looked down at her, surprised, but Jin kept her gaze straight ahead. When they passed a cross street, Jin yanked him into the alley. Hatter started to say something, but Jin put her finger on his lips, silencing him. She waited. The crowd from the shift change had thinned out, but Jin's focus was razor sharp. A sound of heavy footsteps grew louder. Hatter reached for Jin, but she shook him off, lunging in front of the man as he rounded the corner by the side street.
"Why are you following me?"
she demanded.
"It's not for your looks, if that's what you're worried about, sweetheart,"
he sneered. Jin decked him so hard his head snapped back. Still dazed, he didn't struggle as she grabbed him by the collar and spun him against the hard stone wall.
"Why are you following me?"
she repeated, fighting off each word. The man knocked Jin's hands aside and shoved her hard. She stumbled back, and Hatter leapt forward.
"Leave her alone!" he shouted.
The man actually laughed at Hatter's show of bravado. When Hatter swung at him, he dodged easily, wrenching Hatter's arm back and using the boy's body as leverage as he kneed his stomach. The second Hatter fell to the ground, groaning, the man stepped over him, advancing on Jin. She waited.
"Little spitfire, you," the man said. "Don't you remember your buddy Burke? Inusagi?"
"I remember," Jin said,
although she'd never been told the man's name before.
"Bygones be bygones,"
Burke said, turning back toward the main street. Jin shifted, blocking his exit.
"You never answered my question."
"I get paid, I do a job. Ain't no harm to you. Now leave off."
"Someone's paying you to spy on me?"
Jin asked, her mind churning.
Could it be her father?
Her father, who still worked for the Empire. Maybe he wanted out. Maybe he just wanted to know she was okay. Maybe he actually did care about her. Burke shoved Jin's shoulder, trying to move around her. She grabbed his arm, twisting him back. With a grunt of dismay, Burke forced Jin around, trying to bodily move her aside. But Jin was smaller and faster. She used his grip against him, dropping down and sliding a leg out so Burke fell like a stone. His head thunked against the pavement, and Jin, still holding his arm, yanked back.
"You little—"
Burke growled, but Jin didn't let him finish his sentence. She spun around, landing a knee in his chest so his breath was knocked out of him. In one fluid motion, she slid the knife from her boot and pressed it against his throat.
"Who's been paying you?"
she asked in a low voice, her face centimeters from his, the blade a thin line between them.
"Saw, right?"
Burke spat.
"Saw wanted to make sure you landed on your feet after the mess on Tamsi Prime."
Black spots danced behind Jin's eyes.
"Saw?"
Burke used Jin's shock to shove her off him.
"Saw's alive,"
Jin thought, relief flooding through her.
"And he sent Burke to find me."
"Where is he?" Jin asked, reaching for Burke again. He jerked away.
"Take me to him."
"He's not here,"
Burke sneered.
"When's he coming for me?"
"Ain't coming," he said. "Told me, don't let us see you. Just wanted to see if you were still alive, I guess. Sides, here's a new base now. Better, bigger crew."
"Not coming,"
a voice chanted in Jin's head.
"He's not coming for you."
A part of her had known this from the moment he'd told her to hide.
Saw's paranoia had been growing slowly for years, and he had never been more paranoid than when it came to something associated with Galen. As soon as Rhys had figured out Jin's true identity, there was never any way he'd take her back.
"I'll tell him you send your regards," Burke snarled, walking away.
"He left me to die!" Jin screamed at Burke's retreating back. "So I'm as good as dead to him! You tell him that!"
"Jin?" Hatter asked, crawling over to her.
"How did you... That was amazing!"
Jin stared down at the knife in her hands, the one Saw had given to her. She dropped it, as if it were covered in acid eating at her skin.
"Jin?" Hatter asked again.
Saw was alive, and he didn't want her back.